This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition. My name is Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And we got another great show for you today. Ryan, who are we speaking with?
Our guest joining us today is Ms. Deb Gren. She is a Toastmaster from West Hartford, Connecticut. She's a past district governor. And she was also a recent contestant on Jeopardy! Now, Jeopardy's a popular televised game show here in the United States. In fact, it's known as America's favorite quiz show. So let's welcome Deb to the show.
Well, I think before we give her a welcome, maybe we should have somebody else do it as well.
That sounds like a good idea.
Deborah Gren, a stay-at-home mom from Connecticut.
Yes, sir.
I'm puzzled by a bit of information you have given us.
Yes,
it says that you went on your first date with your husband dressed as
Lady Godiva.
Well, wait a minute, correct me if I'm wrong, but I always thought that Lady Godiva was nude. So how could you be dressed as Lady Godiva?
Well, Alex, it was a bit of brown leotard and brown tights. And a wig that I'd made out of yarn.
Out of yarn?
Out of yarn. Plus, I had a stick horse named Buck. But the best part about this was my future husband, Kim, was dressed as a dirty old man.
A match made in heaven. There you have it.
Deb Gren, how are you doing today?
I am fine. How are you?
I am doing excellent. It's great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Deb. Deb, I want to start off by asking you, how long have you been a Toastmaster, and why did you initially join the organization?
I've got two answers to that question. I initially joined Toastmasters, I can't believe it's been 30 years ago. In 1979, I was a graduate student, and as part of my business education, I felt it would be good to be a good public speaker. So the graduate school I was going to had a Toastmasters chapter, and I jumped right in head first. I was a member there for 1 year, moved to my first job, and was a member, I guess, for about 3 years. Then I got laid off, and things happened, got laid off, got married, had children, and it was a few years before I came back. In 94, I became a lifer. I'm in it to stay, and I'm not going anywhere. So I guess that's been 15 years of continuous membership.
Wow.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, and 30 years later, you wind up appearing on Jeopardy. Could you share with us a little bit about that? How did you find out about the opportunity to appear on the show? Was there an audition process? What was that like?
Well, in January, this past January, I was watching and I saw an ad for the online test. I will take the online test, I said to myself. If anything happens from it, wonderful. If not, it would be a great experience to talk about in the speech. Well, I took the online test. Surprisingly, I got an email a couple of days later saying, congratulations, you've been set to go on to the next level.
Nice.
An in-person audition. I chose to have my audition in Boston, and I've got so much speech material out of this experience, it's not funny. I've already talked about three times, and I could go on another three times. But I went to the audition. I was there with 1 minute to spare, by the skin of my teeth somehow I got there. But I apparently did well enough in the in-person audition to be asked to come to California for a taping.
Yeah, we were talking about that before the show recorded, before we started recording the show today, that you were having a little bit of trouble with the clicker, and you were explaining that there are three aspects to being on the show. Do you want to maybe just touch on those quickly?
Yes. The first one is general knowledge. You don't have any idea what categories are going to come up, so it's good to just have a good knowledge base about as much as you can. The second thing is how you present yourself on television. And everybody is having fun, and I don't believe there have been any instances of people melting down or throwing temper tantrums or beating up Alex Trebek or anything like that. So all of the people are good.
You didn't see the bloopers, did you?
No. We didn't have any, darn it. So it's good stage present. And the third thing, and I don't know how I could have practiced this. I'm not a video gamer, and I don't know any other way to sharpen my reflexes, is the clicking. And it's such a narrow window. You have to wait until Alex finishes the question. There is a light panel you have to pay attention to, and then there's somebody else who hits a button after Alex finishes the question. You can't click in before he's done speaking because you'll be locked out. And if you wait too long, your competition will get to you. So it's really an skill to get the clicking done.
Deb, I have to say, watching the video of your appearance on the show, you were incredibly poised, incredibly well-spoken, as we expected from a Toastmaster and a past district governor, of course. But I wonder, how do you think you would have fared on the show had it not been for your Toastmasters experience? Could you maybe speak about some of the specific things you've learned from Toastmasters that helped you to perform so well?
Grace under pressure. I mean, in Toastmasters, you can't win all the time. In contests, you cannot win every time you compete.
Right.
So, grace. Learning how to be a gracious loser, if you want to call it that, or participant. And the important thing, because you can't win, to me it's do your best every opportunity that you have. And that's what I try to do in my Toastmasters appearances. It's just do as well as I can with what I have.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, in that situation, you were obviously under pressure, but as Ryan mentioned, you seem to have handled it extremely well. Were you nervous compared to, let's say, giving a speech or some of the other presentations that you've done in the past? How nervous were you, and how did you deal with those nerves?
I must have forgotten where I was or who I was, because I was not nervous at all, and I do not understand that. I think it was because the cameras were not directly in my face. They were sort of off to the side, and I didn't have to deal directly with looking in a camera every time I spoke, or just I had visualized myself on that stage. I watched the show practically every day, so I knew what to expect. Or maybe it was because the audience wasn't, you know, directly in my face. They were sort of off to the side. But even then, I have learned from myself, about myself from my Toastmasters experience. I love an audience, and I just come alive when there are people that I can talk to. So maybe I just subconsciously imagined I was talking to my Toastmasters group. I don't know, but I really was not that nervous.
Deb, 20 years from now, when you're sitting down with your grandkids and telling them about the time Grandma appeared on Jeopardy, what's going to be the most memorable experience of this whole appearance on the TV show that you'll want to share?
As I told someone, I may have lost the contest, but I think I won the interview.
That's right.
Definitely. Definitely.
All right, you ready for the game show?
Let's go.
All right.
This is Jeopardy.
All right, here we go. We have three different questions for you, three different categories. You get to pick the category, just like on Jeopardy, but unlike Jeopardy, we only have one value for each one. Let's say $200.
Okay.
But unlike Jeopardy, you don't get to keep any money, and we're not giving any money away either.
No consolation prizes either.
No. You won't cover my expenses from my living room to my office, huh?
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
All right, here you go. The categories are Toastmasters History, Toastmasters International Presidents, and Stuff You'll Never Know. You're up first.
Okay. Let's go with Toastmasters History for $200.
Toastmasters History for $200. In 1924, this gentleman ran the first Toastmasters meeting in a YMC basement in Santa Ana, California.
Ding! Who is Dr. Ralph Smedley?
That's right!
Very good.
Yay!
And minor correction, I believe it was a YMCA.
Let's see. International presence.
Okay, Toastmasters International Presence for Presidents for 200. This Toastmasters International President hails from Dublin, Ireland, and served as International President from 2003 to 2004.
Ding! Who is Ted Corcoran?
That is correct.
Fantastic.
All right, okay. One category left.
I'm ready for stuff I have no idea about, or right, whatever you called it.
Stuff you'll never know.
Okay.
For 200. This woman served as Bo Bennett's third grade teacher at Samuel Staples Elementary School.
Bing! Who is Mrs. Swain?
What?
You gotta be kidding me. How do you know that? That is correct.
Magic. It's magic.
That is correct.
The answer is
Mrs. Swain. Wow. I am impressed.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. You ready for Final Jeopardy?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Here's the question.
What's the category first?
Oh, you need a category?
Yeah.
Okay. The category then is Toastmasters International Podcasts.
Okay. I'll take it.
Okay.
I have no choice.
Oh, wait. First, you got to tell us how much you're wagering, Deb.
I'm wagering it all.
$600.
$600. Okay.
$600.
This fantastic podcast is the official podcast of Toastmasters International.
And the answer is Toastmasters Podcast.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
you won,
you very
you won
much.
First place on our Jeopardy, that's for sure.
That's right.
All right. Okay.
Well, Deb, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Fantastic story, and both Ryan and I did watch the Jeopardy episode, and congratulations on that half hour of fame. Most people only get 15 minutes. You get a full half hour.
That's right.
Probably with commercials, 22 minutes, but
22
who's counting?
Minutes.
Yeah.
Enough for two lifetimes.
That's right. Almost.
There you go, yeah. And Deb, you certainly represented yourself very well. You represented the Toastmasters organization very well for those viewers who knew that you are a Toastmaster. And thank
on behalf
you for
of
that.
All Toastmasters, we are proud of you.
We owe you a debt of
thank
gratitude.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, nice speaking with you, Deb.
All righty, take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you heard our sponsor message at the beginning of this podcast, you might be wondering, what is this PowerPoint karaoke thing all about? PowerPoint karaoke is a fun way to practice improv speaking skills and poke a little fun at PowerPoint abusers in the process by presenting slides to the audience that you have never seen before. Amation is sponsoring this PowerPoint karaoke contest and will send a special PowerPoint karaoke starter kit to any Toastmaster who wants to host an event. Videos of the PowerPoint presentations will be voted on and will be eligible for the national grand prizes of up to $5,000 in cash. Events must take place before October 31st in order to qualify for the national contest. For details and to sign up as a host for one of these events, visit PowerPointKaraoke2009.com. And that's our show for this week. If you do have any listener feedback, we would love to hear from you. You can give us feedback by sending an email to podcast@toastmasters.org. You can post on Twitter, twitter.com/thetmpodcast, or you can give us a call and leave up to a 2-minute voicemail feedback. And that number is
1-888-451-8862.
All right, we would love to hear from you. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Take care, everybody. Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.